God made sunsets full of color, and God made racehorses that run in a flash. God made the orange, the apple, and strawberries. But God's greatest creation is pussy. I don't mean to be crude or nothing, but you can have all the sunsets, horses, and fruit there is. Just give me all the pussy in the world. Fuck, I don't need all the pussy. Just one a day. Every day.
I thought that would have been an intro that Will appreciated, but he'll never hear it. He'll never hear it, Howard, because he doesn't listen to the show after the fact, nor do I. I'm responsible for it. I fucking know what I did.
I said it
an hour ago.
You know, he'll probably listen to this one maybe if he's not on, right?
I mean, no.
If he's not on, all right.
No, he doesn't care. And all that's fine. I don't expect him to.
All the more reason to talk bad about him.
I love Will. Nothing to talk bad about. Great guy. But yeah, he has my listening habits with regard to the show. And again, I don't, if you're on it, I guess for you, Howard, welcome again.
Yeah,
it's been a while. It's been maybe 18 months since you were last on, and you've got a couple stalker fans, even from that one appearance, that will contact me every now and again. It's kind of creepy.
I love it. I'm actually a mild narcissist, my therapist tells me. So, you know, the more the merrier.
Oh, you've got a couple girls that are like, Howard sounds so wise. I'm like, fuck you, bitch. I'm the one that does the show every week. Shut up. Be nice to me. I'm the one that brought you Howard, goddammit. He's Michael. I'm Quincy. Get it straight. Welcome to another edition of Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papagiorgio. With me today is Howard. I'm not going to give your last name for stalking purposes or what?
Hey, you know, Howard's good for these days.
Howard.
Howard Heasy.
Yeah, Howard Heasy
is what they call me on the street, so we'll stick with that.
The streets where he lives, where he come from. You can listen to us. I don't even know why I say this part. You can listen to us live every Saturday. I haven't been on live in a month because between me and Veronica, we've always had some shit lately. I think we'll be live this Saturday. I would like that a lot, but... when we are live, we're live on Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time at fcac.org/WEBR. The big thing you need to don't walk away from my website. I want you to walk toward it. But take with you, if you're listening to this, go to inpapasbasement.com because that's got all the information you need. It's got literally every show we've ever done, even the real dregs back at the beginning. You've got a ton of my writing, which I happen to think is pretty funny. My mom does too. You know, she's very unbiased on all this. Oh my God, we talked through the entire fucking song. Bam. There you go.
Word.
It's also got my Facebook information. If you want to follow Papa's Basement on Facebook, it's got the Twitter page link, and very importantly, it's got the iTunes link. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the Papa's Basement podcast. I'll admit it's a podcast. I mean, it's live sometimes. The days where it's live, it's not a podcast. But if I'm pre-recording it and it just goes out as an MP3, what the fuck? It's a podcast. Embrace who you are, right? Go there and rate it. Give it 5 stars.
This humor is timeless. I think you could listen to it 10 years from now and you all will still laugh.
I got a lot of people that will listen to random old episodes like and quote shit I said 2 years ago. I'm like, well, how did you make it through that? I'm at that point where everything I do, I feel I'm that much better than like 6 months later. Like I hear right now, I feel we do an okay show. I've been doing this 5 years at this point, or 4.5 in that neighborhood. Don't log a ton of airtime because it's just once a week, but I think I've hit a stride at this point. There's a bit more of a confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
It isn't, God, I remember those first few weeks where I just roll in and be like, next week we're going to do an outline. And that was just the refrain, you know?
Yeah, no, this is definitely your primary thing. I think back then you were still more on the fence of like, am I really going to do this? But
I had no clue. I would just waltz into the studio hungover with the people I was drinking with the night before.
Yeah.
And all of us wanted to just get out and take those monstrous beer shits and eat some IHOP. We had no fucking... We had just discovered the Wii, you know? You just want to sit there and play Wii tennis. Fucking nibbling at a pancake, goddammit. You're hungover. You're not... I don't know about you. I don't even have to drink that heavily for my brain function to be impaired the next day. Like, I'll have, okay, I guess this sounds, I'll have like 6 to 8 beers, but like in the middle of the afternoon, now I sound like an alcoholic. And the next day, I'm pretty stupid, man. Like, I'm not hungover either. I used to attribute it to the hangover. I think it just depresses brain function for a while, though.
I gotta say, though, like, as a practicing attorney in my my other life, it's a perfect job for being an alcoholic, because you just bullshit your way through your life no matter how hungover you are. There are some people who just show up to court straight up, alcohol in their breath still, and they get through. People make it sound like it's hard. I think getting through law school and passing the bar, yeah, that's a pain.
That's the hardest part.
I think, like, it's perfect if you like to be hungover on the job, be a lawyer.
I find
believe
that,
it or not.
Well, no, I believe it, because I don't think the average lawyer really gives a shit. I think they want a paycheck. It's one of those industries that few people, if you ask me, go into because they're passionate about it. I'm talking completely out of my ass here.
So you're close. What happens is people go into it because they're passionate, but slowly over time, like, reality beats them down into the pulp that remains, and you just want a paycheck because it's too late. You've made choices in your life that you can't go back on,
dude,
and you're a lawyer.
I think you're describing everything ever in life. What you just said there, that could, you could have been a ball player. You could have been describing a marriage. I mean, that's pretty much everything.
I mean, this is why I'm feeling you on, just like, you know what? I live in a basement. I don't work all that much during the week, but you know what? I'm preserving my youth as long as possible.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of retiring at 50 when your legs don't work anymore? And you can't do half the shit that you wanted to when you were, like, working and slaving away in your 20s trying to get to retirement. That's when you can actually dunk. I used to be able to dunk when I was 20. I was proud of that. Now, I'm only 10 years older, so I can't dunk anymore.
That's
no, I put on weight. It sucked.
That's sad as shit.
Yeah, so it's bad. Like,
I could never dunk. I always just looked like a fucking, like, fire plug that someone kicked over, you know?
Yeah.
But you had it. You could.
Dude, the first time I ever dunked. It was in front of my cousin, who at the time, I think he was in 8th grade.
Oh, he fucking went home, jerked off immediately. He's like, this is what I just saw.
No, it was terrible, because I did it. I was like, I can't believe I did that. And this is like, I have a witness. And then I remembered, this kid just immigrated from Korea.
Oh.
He doesn't speak any English.
Little shit.
I got no witness.
Did you teach him to draw comics after that? Fucking cave paint?
I mean, he speaks English now, but I just remember at the time, like, I can't even, like, have him meet my friends just to, like, vouch that this happened.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to think I made it up.
Just be like, what's this little dog-eating motherfucker talking about? He fucking knows, like, 8 words, one of them's dunk, and he just says them all phonetically.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding. Like, one of the first things he learned was basketball vocab.
Oh, God.
He knew what that was, I guess.
Mine, but...
Yeah.
Dropping N-bombs.
Yeah.
Shit. I didn't realize you couldn't anymore, because you used to be, like, real proud of that, man. How much have you socked on? You're still a beanpole looking dude.
Yeah, full disclosure, the only reason I was ever able to dunk, I was 6'2", but I was like 159.
Okay.
So I could get up because I didn't weigh anything.
Yeah.
Like, and I sucked at basketball, bottom line, because I could just get pushed around in the low block. So, I mean, it was just, I could rebound, but I really couldn't hold anybody off if they were big enough.
What are you weighing now?
I'm up to 190, so, like, I think right...
6'2", 190, still, like, completely reasonable, though.
What sucks, though, is every time I break, like, 175, the jump power's gone. Can't do it. So my choices are, like, can I play stout defense and be a functional basketball player? I need to weigh a little bit more. I got, like, I can actually D up a little bit better now.
I never thought shit about this. I just go to the free throw line and shoot free throws. That's the extent of me playing basketball now.
Yeah, no, actually, I'm developing...
And three-pointers. I'm white, you know, that's what I do.
I'm actually developing a new Tai Chi series based on basketball. So, like, these videos will be coming out in the next 2 to 3 years.
I'll keep a look. I'm on the show, but I'll still be around doing this. I doubt I'll do anything better in life.
I used to joke about it, but there really is a guy who sells yoga hoops videos, and he has NBA players that do his workout.
Oh, God.
It's ridiculous, so... I'm getting on that bandwagon. I just need to meet some NBA players.
Just do it. We have no one in this city. John Wall's gone in what? One more year?
I don't know. We'll see. I think D'Antoni might actually come here. If he comes, we could keep Wall, because that would mean, like, we have a point guard.
We would have an interesting system offensively again.
And it would be all about John Wall. Like, I'm number one. Give me the rock.
Who the fuck did they even draft this year? Was it Jan Vesely or some shit? Some white guy?
I mean, he. Do you remember the draft? Like, he made out with that model?
I do.
That was a big headline, man.
When I worked at the sports station, we covered that live. I definitely remember him.
No, I think, like, I think that's basically the only kind of white guy who could probably come to D.C. and be liked. Because the first thing he does, you don't know who he is.
Tongue some bitch.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, I'm down with this guy.
Just
like,
some fellow Eastern Bloc woman. Eastern Bloc women are the worst because for like 5 years from when they're legal, they are the sexiest things on earth. And then they just hit a cinder block wall. And it's like, oh my God, get out of my bed and start like scaling fish in my basement, you Gorgon bitch. And they're all like diseased too. I've heard like if you get any Russian bride, you're also getting like herpes. That wasn't too witty. You're getting herpes and a woman. I've heard they're all diseased. They're all fucking prostitutes. I love how I'm just stereotyping. Yeah. But they're white, so I can get away with it.
Well, I mean, it was a problem. Like I had a friend from Pakistan who was telling me when he was a kid, USSR fell.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a bunch of Russian refugees. And, like, almost all the women were prostitutes. And if you weren't, people just assumed you were.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, my visit to Greece, I still remember, like, I went through a couple strip clubs and shit, like, my one night on the town in Athens before I was like, fuck this. And I went back home and I found their equivalent of McDonald's, like, some gyro joint, and just watched The Fly in Greek with, or no, The Fly in English with Greek subtitles. And I was like, I feel like a god among men here. I don't need that shit. But every shithole I went into was just Russian broads. There was nothing else over there. I was like, let me see the whores of my homeland. And there was nothing of the sort. It was just these fucking blonde and blue, you know, lice crawling out of their crotch motherfuckers.
I'm telling you, man, it's to me, I think like being a Russian woman today is the equivalent of being a black man in America, where like everywhere you go, people just assume you're trying to like,
bang
no
white
good.
Women?
Oh. No, I was thinking, like, you're just there to, like, commit violent crimes, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Zimmerman rule, I like to call it. So. But, I mean, like, that the same thing goes towards, like, Russian women now. Just people see them. It's like, yo, I bet
we
she's
don't
a hoe.
Have a lot, like, in the D.C. area, but you go to Jersey and New York, man. That's, like, just straight up white immigration still.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing how many of them you'll find up there. And I mean, it's just a different culture. Like, everyone wants to assume that we have everything. You know, if you're a white guy from America, you'll click with any other white folk. It's like, no, they got very different values, yeah. Man.
No, that's it's not really helping the cause if their cultural mecca is becoming the Jersey Shore, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the latest Russian people in pop culture, and all I can think of is the fucking upstart pitcher in season 3 of Eastbound, which I don't think you've seen.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't have HBO anymore.
And he has this fucking rival, and he's got literally the Beavis haircut, but in real life, you know, where it's like shaved
awesome.
6 inches above the ears on the side and then tapers down. And he botches a couple like English sayings, like he's kind of on the level, but at one point he tries to punk Kenny by saying psych, and he pronounces it psych. Fucking amazing, yeah. Man. I'm trying to remember what his goddamn, he's like a DJ too, and his fucking DJ name's like DJ Kremlin or something. And he just has, like, you know how Dead Mouse has that fucking mouse head he wears while doing it live? This guy has that huge Russian hat with the big red Soviet star on it, but it's just like 5 times. You know the Russian hat with the ear flaps and shit?
Oh, no.
He's got one that's like the size of his torso that he wears on his head. Fucking, it's so good. Oh, I'm going to miss that show, man. They're claiming it was like the series finale.
Oh, no.
A couple weeks ago. And I mean, it ends on a note where you're like, that is pretty final, but I'm going to miss it. Season 3 was so good. Season 2 is such a pile of dog shit where he goes to Mexico.
I haven't seen that one yet either. So,
dude, he goes to Mexico and I was like, there's no, after the first couple episodes, I'm like, okay, Eastbound and Down season 1 works because so many people can relate to a dream dying and working a horrible job and then maybe trying to redeem themselves. Season 2, he just goes to Mexico and he's like shooting off guns and fucking betting on cockfights and doing coke. I'm like, well, this is fun to watch. No one relates to this.
Yeah, I think that's the the difficulty with that improv style of comedy that's like on the rise now.
Ever since Anchorman.
Is that the intro? Is that really where it started?
I believe so, because really before that, from that pack of dudes, you only had Old School, and Old School is very scripted.
I'll say this. I think it's just improv's always been key. Like, I think that's how they always recruited for SNL. Like, you don't do it on SNL, but the people that they pick have to just...
Well, because they love to poach Second City people.
Exactly. So I'm saying they finally have been able to convince directors to be cool with, like, their scripts getting changed.
I think there have always been directors that are cool with it. Like, Caddyshack was... So much of that was apparently improv'd.
Great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But the one I was thinking, it's not even comedy necessarily, like with Pulp Fiction. I mean, one reason why Tarantino's probably never done anything as good as Pulp Fiction, the story I heard is...
You always said this. Actually, I'm interrupting you. What you said about Pulp and what I love to throw in people's faces is that it's like the one script he co-wrote. And he had the dude with Killing Zoe or whatever the hell that movie help out.
But in addition, they didn't know exactly how that was going to play out. So they actually had a different ending written than the one that was in the movie.
Really?
And it was while they were interviewing, trying to screen actors, that they had Sam Jackson come in. And I think they had a different idea of how that scene was supposed to play out. And Sam Jackson
Honey Bunny and all that shit where he's got him hostage, Tim Roth, the gun to his face.
Sam Jackson kind of flipped modes on it instead of just being like angry.
Flip mode squad. Continue.
He ended up just... presenting it in this didactic way.
Very
where he's
philosophical,
like, yeah. So he did that instead of like what they originally had, which was more stereotypical, like, I'm an angry black man.
Yeah.
And then they realized, actually, you know, we just kind of threw this movie together, and like what he just did has to be the end, because it's like far beyond anything we ever could have written.
It's so good.
And it was just Sam so Jackson kind of improvised, because he read it. He's like,
that's my wallet. That's
really
my
like
bad
this.
Motherfucker.
Yeah, he just he didn't really like what he read, I guess, the way they presented it, because it was kind of stereotypical.
He deserves everything that's come to him since, if that ending was what he came up with.
It was just him reading the script saying, you know what, this is how it's going to go down. I'm going to do it my way, and you know, they can hire me if they want me or not. And it was like,
God,
not only are we going to hire
ass.
You, but we're basically going to like give
you're
the movie
star,
your ending.
Yeah.
So
God damn. Oh, that movie's so good.
So, I mean, I think after that, though, directors in Hollywood realized, like, you know what? Not all actors are morons. Actually, some of them are pretty talented artists. Maybe sometimes in the boredom of, like, these 14-hour days, just give them a chance to have a little fun. I mean, fail sometimes. Like, what was the movie with Will Ferrell doing the basketball? Woody Harrelson and Andre 3000? That could have been so good. That movie could have been so good.
Hold on.
But it was just such a joke.
Semi-pro, is that it?
Yeah.
Dude. I saw that. I actually did that as a date movie. You know, as a date movie, it was very innocuous and okay. But you couldn't pay me to watch Semi-Pro again.
I'm saying, like, as cool as that format was for Anchorman, it could have been so good with Semi-Pro.
Had they tried,
But it was really just like, hey, we're just going to
throw this together. It had poor direction, I feel. Yeah, it was just kind of rushed out.
I don't even think they had a script, dude. I think they just wrote a story.
It was a Willsploitation movie.
Totally.
It was just like, get this motherfucker out.
Give Will Ferrell a basketball.
In between takes of Blades of Glory. Yeah. Work this bitch. And also, who is the love interest? Mara Tierney or whatever?
Yeah.
Weird Irish last name.
Hey, like, I'm down with her, man. I don't know.
I was for a long time, but that's showing a little in the tooth right now.
Is it? I haven't seen her since. I thought she was all right still.
She right now, her latest thing I remember her from was The Office. Like, she was James Spader's wife on The Office and had a weird, like, one episode appearance that then translated to nothing because that show is just actively going down the shitter.
It's been in the shitter. I think it's actually, to me, like, I never watched that show because Steve Carell, I thought it was beneath him. So I like Dwight.
I think
the dude
it
who
was
does Dwight is amazing,
because
but.
At the time, I never appreciated what Carell did for it. All I could say was every time I got home from work at like 11 or 1 or whatever, I always, out of all the Thursday shows that I recorded, it was always The Office I watched first. Even like season 6 or 7 or whatever the fuck his last couple were.
Yeah.
I made sure to watch it. And I was always like, God, he kind of plays a dunce. And I don't even think he's that really good at it. And like the instant he left, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was like the Bulls without Jordan, you know? It's like, okay, we, in case your theories needed to be confirmed, this is shit without the big man.
Right. It's weird because, forget the actor's name, but he was in Cedar Rapids.
Ed Helms, right?
Ed Helms is so good.
You like him? I got, back in the day, I was having this talk, speaking of the old sports station, Danny Ruye, at yeah. Funny Danny on Twitter, and he was saying like how much he loved Ed Helms. I fucking cannot, like, I don't hate Ed Helms, but he has like zero appeal to me.
I think it's part of this is your lack of Anglo-Saxon blood.
I guess. See, for so, me, yeah.
I don't know, like, there's that inner white dude, that Anglo-Saxon in me that goes back several hundred years in this country.
Yeah.
Got miscegenated of late, but, you know, like, I get white humor. Like, average white American humor is my humor. The cops don't necessarily recognize me as yeah. being part of the club, but in my head when I'm watching TV, yeah, I think Ed Helms is real funny.
I especially that he loves busting out musical shit. That's nails down a chalkboard to me.
Oh, for real? Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah.
He loves breaking out the guitar. He loves the fact he can sing, even though he doesn't have really good pipes. I'm sorry. See, not that good.
This is all embarrassing for me, because for me, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to say I actively go to musicals because I want to. But if a girl's like, hey, you want to see this musical? I'm like, you know what? If this is leverage for me as far as getting wow. laid, I am more than happy to listen to some tunes because I kind of like music.
I despise music. I would rather be in the shower and find, like, not just one lump on my balls.
Oh, wow.
Like, it could look like a potato that you left in the fridge for a month with about 18 eyes coming out of it. Like, I feel it, and it's like one of those things you would rub against your back for a massage. Like, them knobby motherfuckers. I could be like, I'm dying. There's no way this hasn't metastasized like a motherfucker. Whoa. But at least I don't have to see Rent. Literally,
no.
out of everything
oh, yeah.
I've ever heard from a musical, the one thing that at least sticks in my head is the Rent song where they're counting off like the minutes or seconds in a day or whatever. I had to work with that one time editing some audio for a movie review when the Rent movie
terrible.
Came on a DVD.
Oh, man.
And it's like, you know, the 570. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I feel you on that, on that musical in particular. I mean, I could probably sit through it, but whenever I just think of it now, I think of Team America, like the intro.
Yeah, and
everybody has AIDS. It's
everybody
just like,
has
yeah.
AIDS. At least funny, yeah.
Like,
well, that's
yeah,
apparently
that's
the
that's
plot.
That's musical.
Because I've looked it up on Wikipedia. Yeah. It's like, Tommy has AIDS, and then yeah. someone else gets AIDS. Yeah. It sounds like Kids, but a musical, yeah. you know? And that's another weird thing to me, that so many people that are in comedy have that streak in them. Because Simpsons, not a ton as of late, but those early episodes definitely had musical numbers. Family Guy, fucking Seth MacFarlane could not get his dick out of his pants fast enough to beat it to a musical number. There's like five per episode. There's entire musical episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy loves singing, and he has good pipes. He's got a deep motherfucker, like balls like Idaho Spud's voice.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to be careful with it, because sometimes it's filler.
It's
just
total
sounds like
filler,
filler
to me.
Yeah.
I literally fast forward through it. I don't find anything funny about Stewie dancing and prancing. It looks like a little queer. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I like it when one of the best lines ever that I've quoted a million times is Brian just turns to Stewie. He's like, are you gay? And Stewie replies, probably. You know, and that's Stewie voice.
See, but let me ask you this. What about Weird Al? Do you enjoy, like, you know, the funny music video? Let's
I
just
did
forget
when
about
I was 11.
I mean, just the idea behind.
I don't need to hear Big Al singing Adele now.
But all right, so let's look at a serious artist, quote unquote. Like, I think Old Dirty Bastard has some really funny songs.
I love ODB.
All right. I just feel
he's
like
he's coming from the musical side of things, though.
Fair. I mean, it's just,
I don't
me,
mind a musician
amazing.
Veering into funny if they can do it. And ODB was brilliant.
I am waiting for somebody with legit pro music talent like that who's able to write something funny. As far as a script goes, like that intersection will be money if you could just tell a story with like his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't. I like my releases to be pure. I don't need to synergize them. Like, I enjoy eating pussy. I enjoy having pizza. I would not want to eat two at the same time. I would not be like, let's put a garlic breadstick up your twat and I'll eat
right.
that out.
I see what you're saying.
Smells
strangely,
probably
like,
wouldn't be harmonious.
I think I've known you too long, but I definitely understand what you're saying on that.
Yeah.
Like, they force it too much on Family Guy. They definitely just like...
And the South Park guys, they fucking did that Book of Mormon that apparently is huge and everyone loves it. I just don't like music and comedy mixed together.
All right, that's fair. I mean, it's just... I
people are probably expecting me to then veer, I also hate the mixing of the races. No, that's
but no, here's the biggest problem with musical comedy. If you tell a bad joke, which you never do,
thank
but
you.
When you see people who tell bad jokes...
I've heard of it, in theory.
Go on. So it happens, but it's over, and then they can move on quickly to the next thing.
Yeah.
You write a terrible comedy song, you can't stop in the middle.
No.
People sit there for like 2 minutes. It's awkward. People probably change the channel if it's on TV, but you basically just killed your show if it's not good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm trying to think of a little bit of musical comedy I do like. I never hated like the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song and that shit. Like
there you
some
go.
Of Adam Sandler stuff doesn't bug me, but it's almost like an unfair edge. Like if you're going to get laid as a funny guy or get laid as a musician, if you're doing them both, it's like just fuck off already. Yeah. Like it would be like some NBA player just dropping his towel and his huge fucking charcoal dick tumbles out. But he's also got like those little professor spectacles on. And he's like reading Nietzsche to some broad into philosophy. It's like, fuck you.
Dude, do you ever think about being Will Chamberlain being the first? I think he might have been the first black guy at Kansas. Or whatever it was.
Like in the state.
No, just like he went to University of Kansas.
Uh-huh.
And here he is. He's just like this tall, good-looking brother.
Yeah.
Shows up. Most of the girls there never really been around black guys, but the first one they meet is fantastic at their favorite sport, and he's good looking, tall, and you know what? Guess what happens when he drops the towel? It's just like, this is why that man scored 20,000 by the end of his career, and I ain't talking points.
Fucking Will. I love Will so goddamn much. What was that point? The 10? Did he score 100 or 101?
Oh, he scored 100 in a game.
Yeah, just that shot of him holding the number 100. That is one of the best photos in all of fucking sports. I'm sorry. You see that like kind of look. It's like, can I put this down and get some pussy now? You took your fucking picture. Right. Let me get my fix. Was it you telling me that he would never bang the same woman twice unless she came with a friend?
Yeah, no, that was his rule. I mean, he apparently was pretty good at what he did.
Like, that goes down in history along with the golden rule. Those are the two best rules I've ever heard.
Because, yeah, no, like, if he slept with a woman and she came back, you know, have round two, not even ask for a relationship, just,
yeah.
That was so good, I just want to feel that again.
Yeah.
His reply would be, honey, I'm not interested. I've already had you.
God
but
damn.
If you want to bring a friend over, I can help you re-experience me.
Oh, God.
And so that's how
good must he have been when they're just debasing themselves like that?
You don't understand, man. Like, so he wouldn't just, it would snowball. So it wouldn't just like be one, then two.
It's like a phone tree.
It basically like, it got up to 9. Like, he would have 9 women coming over because of that rule. Where it'd be like, all right, so you two together need to recruit a third.
Uh-huh.
It's like that Heather Locklear commercial back in the day. Like, she called a friend. She called a friend. That's how he did it. So when people say, how did he sleep with 20,000 women in his life? That's how.
God damn. And I maybe in theory I shouldn't like hold that in such regard, but I do.
No, his real quote, bottom line. And, you know, like, I think about this. I have to admit, I think most dudes probably do and don't admit it. But he used to say, it is harder to sleep with one woman 1,000 times and 1,000 women 1 time.
It's absolutely brilliant and true.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, damn. I think that's right.
It absolutely is. There's no debate there. You might as well just like whispered into the mic, 2 + 2 = 4. I'm like, yeah. So it is.
So,
I had forgotten that line. I love it when like something I used to really have at the forefront of my brain and love is dredged back up. Makes me happy. And it isn't to say like one woman can't make you happy, but I don't know where I'm going with this. Yeah, 1,000 1,000 women. Take that.
You're going into damage control mode.
Yeah.
Like, wait, how do I say this so in the future I don't regret this?
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. You can be happy with one person, but be nice if you could have 1,001, right?
Yeah.
Why can't you have your cake and eat it too? Have the 1,000 and then 1,001.
I mean, even the great prophet Muhammad was like, listen, all right, so, you know, you might need a second wife or a fourth.
Yeah. So. Look at you watch Big Love. That isn't about just sex. Bill's not getting his nut. He's taking care of them women.
Yeah, that's an interesting show because I haven't really watched a lot of it, but I heard he would cheat sometimes. Like, you're supposed to divide your time, and so, like, he occasionally would give a little too much love into one wife, and they'd have to hide it from the others, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah. There was a bit of that, like, especially more than one time, she played Johnny Cash's wife, the first one, the bitch Italian Catholic one.
Oh, yeah.
Forget her damn name, a little short round one, with, like, big T's, Jennifer Goodwin.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then the other was, like, Waterworld Lady.
Right.
And then the other one is the she blew Vince Gallo in Brown Bunny, like, on screen.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Chloe Svegany. Whatever the
career
fuck
killer.
Her name is. She is one of the most classic butterfaces, Chloe Svegany. The worst part is, like, I used to go out with a chick, actually the one I took to semi pro, who kind of looked like her in the dome piece a little, but didn't have his, like, she was still lanky, but did not have the TNA. So I'd be like, she looks like this butterface minus the fucking butter. Just looks like this fucking disgusting blonde woman. But I'm trying to remember, he used to bang around, he would bang the young one, because she was like a babysitter at one point.
Dang.
For the older mom on the show. And I think the other two wives resented the fact that he was pretty much just fucking this hot babysitter and then was like, oh, I'm doing it so we can get a third wife. And, of course, he wanted to smash that one a little more. She was the younger model. And he also, at one point, he starts fucking, like, this Russian, of all things, a Russian broad. And he's, again, does that under the guise of, like, well, I didn't tell you guys, but it's kind of like project, let's get us a fourth wife here. Right. But that dude, shit, that was a lot of plates to keep up in the air, man. If you feel the pressure from having two kids, that motherfucker, I think. Paxton had like seven on the show. And it was great because they'd only develop a couple ones. Like Svegany's like little two blonde kids are just like, fuck this.
Right.
Who cares? But that Amanda Seyfried or whatever, who has those weird eyes with the big tits, she was his daughter for a while. And there was like some fruity looking son. And then he had a little ginger kid that they fucking like just swapped out. Like season three, the original ginger just disappeared. And then they get this real like child actory ginger who's all like, I'm all mature and I seem like I'm 18, but I'm really 12. And you're just like, fucking, I hate you. Die, whoever you are. Child actors that like just want to be adults so badly are the pits. I would really just sell an inch just to see them in 10 years to how. Relish how fucked their life is. Then I'd beg for the inch back. Wasn't worth it. Where were we?
I was talking about
Wilt.
Yeah, Wilt. And here's the thing about multiple wives, though. Like, I had an anthropology professor in college tell me. He was just like, you know, trying to teach a class, but then at one point he just pointed out to me, like, hey, seriously, no matter where you find a culture where you're allowed to have multiple wives.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean,
you will find great, proud men as well.
Nah, he actually, I mean, I think all the American dudes who, like, become anthropologists just go to these places and are like, dude, is that cool? Like, it's illegal where I come from.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, across the board, the answer they get is, like, hey, dude, listen, double your wives, double your sorrow.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, global.
Dude,
it's a bad
Stern,
idea, man.
Howard Stern is now, I don't find him funny that fucking two times a month he does a show.
Right.
Like, I've never seen a guy get paid more to do less. But I remember one time he was laughing because after 9/11, a lot of widows were coming to claim benefits and finding out these guys had a second family.
Yeah, no.
That was also trying to claim it. And he was just like, who the fuck would ever get married to two women? That's like having cancer and giving yourself AIDS.
Oh, man.
That one just floored me. I was dying at that one. Here's what I'm wondering, though, and I've seriously thought this a lot. Marriage seems to be falling by the wayside to some extent. It's like just people aren't getting married as much for whatever reason. You can say the erosion of the power of the church. People are just whores now. I don't, whatever you want to chalk it up to. But do you think we will eventually, like when we really move away from marriage, do you think like a dude having two baby mamas just living with him will ever be acceptable? Because I don't know if it can be, like, unless religion pushes for it, like Mormonism actually saying you should have multiple wives, because I've never seen women who play nice.
Yeah, I think logically speaking, most people know, like, that's not ideal. It's like, why would I do that to myself? If I really, who would pick that? Like, hey, this is a great idea for me in the future. I think most people realize, like, if I'm going to have kids, just, like, try to have one person that you're raising with. Maybe they're not even, like, both your natural kids or whatever, but just, like,
yeah,
two parents, like, your litter or whatever they call groups of children nowadays.
Your pussy droplings.
But, I think, like, I think marriage people are actually only doing it now if they actually want to.
Like for tax breaks or some shit.
Or just like it makes sense if you got kids.
I guess.
Or it just seems kind of like a good idea with, I guess going back to economics, a lot of it makes sense. Like with buying a house, being married is actually pretty cool. Because if you're married and you buy a house, it's a little complicated than this, but long story short, if you're married, you buy a house together. It's harder for each of your creditors to come and take away the house. So you can each like go out after you buy a house and like rack up ridiculous amounts of credit card debt, and they may not be able to come after your house because like
no wonder you can dunk. What gets to me, I used to be really anti-marriage because I'm like, well, in the event of the divorce, who the fuck needs that? But aren't you just as fucked by being like common law man and wife or whatever? Like if you live together 8 years, you might as well have been married. You're the lawyer.
It's actually worse. Because if somebody dies, like it ain't going to you as the common law spouse. Like you're not getting jacked.
So as a dude, it's like all the bad stuff happens, but the good stuff doesn't.
As far as what?
Okay, I'm living with a chick for 8 years.
Right.
And she up and leaves. I owe her half my shit. Regardless, like at what point does that kick in? Oh, really?
Yeah, like if you're not married to her and you're living together and she leaves you, I mean, like
you see, I want to know that. Like, does not getting married protect you from anything? Because I can't play half a Wii, you know.
I mean, it's weird because I know a lot of married people still keep separate accounts, and
I would, dude. If there's God, my dad. If he were a sitcom star, this would have been his refrain. I love your mother, but she's horrible with money. Like, there's a reason he's dead and she's still alive. I'm so like, you can only treat a man like a human goddamn ATM so long.
But no, I think, yeah, people are stopping having joint accounts, really. I mean, they might have one, but it's not their primary source of, like, wealth.
Be like, I can buy lollipops and cat foods.
And they'll, like, split a house. Probably, but even there, like some people are like, hey, I'll buy the house, then you pay for the college kids, the kids' college or whatever. So, I mean, it's like people coming up with different ways to like divide the marital estate now. I mean, I'd say the biggest benefit, is if one of you dies, your common law spouse, there's no such thing anymore in most states, by the way. But
what, common law?
Yeah, that's just
really
because the reason it evolved was back in the day. You had rural areas of England or even in the United States where you just had no connection to like a courthouse or even a minister that could marry you properly, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it allegedly evolved. It's like, all right, these people have been living together and it's just hard to find time in the day to like travel for 2 days just to like have this ceremony. So we're just going to call these people common law. Well, that's basically gone in most states now.
Nice.
Because you should be able to just drive somewhere and get that done if you really want it.
That's good, right? That's good for guys. Am I missing something?
I think it's kind of hit or miss.
It's on my brain because...
I think... Sorry.
No, I just... the Silver Fox, Roger Sterling from Mad Men.
Right.
He went on an acid trip with his young wife in the latest episode.
Oh, wow.
And during the trip, they're both just like, yeah, this marriage is over. We need to end things. And then... they snap and he's like, this is great. I can't believe we're doing this so amicably while they're both tripping balls.
Right.
And then they wake up the next day and he's just happy as a pig and shit. He's like, I'm going to go to a hotel for a couple of weeks. I don't want to, you know, displace you. And I guess we'll call some lawyers or something like that. And she's like, what are you talking about? He's like, the divorce. We agreed on this. And she's like, what? We were high. He's like, so you didn't mean anything you said that you've said to your therapist that it's over and you're just waiting for me to tell that to you? She's like, but we were high. He's like, no, we're going through this. Yeah. Her one comment after this is like, this is going to be very expensive. And he just smiles and goes, I know. And he like walks out of the door whistling.
No, I mean, the only way to avoid the expensiveness is a prenup. So,
but like, can't every prenup be assaulted and torn apart?
Well, look, that's what lawyers are for. I mean, like,
yeah, I just got the vibe that nothing you can do could protect yourself other than beating off into a tissue and living like a hermit.
Now, the problem is it's hard to anticipate what your future holds simply. I mean, so you have a prenup. It's based usually on like current circumstances and what you can reasonably foresee.
Okay.
Where are you going to be in 10 years?
So if I win the lotto, my prenup could be assaulted very liberally.
I mean, winning the lotto is a little different than, because I mean, that's more just like money. Mm-hmm. Whereas like if you built a business, let's say.
And it took off.
That's complicated. Like, you know, you get married.
You might have heard of me. My name's John Google.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like that. Like you could get married one day and like you're working at Taco Bell and then the next day, boom, like you have the next mega $1 billion website and you guys hadn't planned
it. It's ironic because I use that to get laid, but if it ever happened, I'd be livid. What? I am worth money? What are you doing here? Go now.
Oh, man.
Goddamn. I almost want to punch out on that note. We've done a solid like 42 minutes. We got a whole other subject we can get to, but
do an outro and like come back in.
Oh, no? We can keep talking. I actually had one bit of show prep.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it, man. I mean,
you had your bit of show prep, which we kind of danced around but never got to with Meta World Peace, not Ron Artest anymore. Meta World Peace, elbow in. Who the fuck from the Thunder again?
James Harden, Sixth Man of the Year. He's going to win the Sixth Man of the Year this year.
Really?
Yeah.
When the fuck did Ginobili get too old for that a couple years ago?
Harden's their third leading scorer on his team.
And no bullshit.
They're number two in the West, so.
I never got that about basketball. What makes a good sixth man? Like, if he's such a good sixth man, why are you just starting the fucking game with him? And how quickly do they typically tap in? Because I only watch, like, playoff basketball, and even then it's just half-hearted.
I mean, this is why I hate the NBA. I think actually more teams could succeed if they had, like, this beast coming off the bench. Because it would ruin the other team's rotation. Like, the whole goal in basketball, it's kind of like, I haven't read The Art of War, but my understanding is, like, you want to be on your game, and you want to force your opponent to be out of there. Like,
you always want to be a disruptive force, then, with your lineup.
So, with a sixth man, if you just have this guy who comes off the bench, you got two, like, beasts just out there, like, killing it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them takes a seat, you know, because you got to rest guys, but, like, then out of nowhere, like, you have this other guy who plays maybe 35 minutes a game, doesn't play the first eight. Doesn't play the first eight minutes maybe of the first quarter and then the first 8 minutes of the third quarter. But otherwise, he dominates. Well, like, he's going to be better than everybody who's, like, on the court whenever all the stars from the
other he's got fresh
teams.
Legs.
Yeah. But he's going to be, if he's somebody good and he can dominate the game, like, it will basically force the other coach to put in better players and disrupt their flow. See, if your goal is to disrupt your opponent, like, the best sixth man in the world is just going to screw every opponent because he will dominate your scrubs and you will have to bring your starters back early and they'll be tired by the end of the fourth quarter. I mean, to me, I just think it's a no-brainer. That's why Oklahoma City's so good this year, because this guy's just been coming off the bench and he's so good. He should be a starter.
But they lost the West, right? I mean, like, they don't have the top seed. The Spurs clinched.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs have been ridiculous lately.
Which is so weird because, again, like, I'm a dude that doesn't pay a ton of attention to NBA, but, like, aren't they old as all hell?
I mean, Duncan's old. I mean,
I thought Ginobili is, what, 33 or something?
I don't think he's that old. But, I mean, he's just...
Weird, balding fuck.
Yeah, he plays hard, so, I mean, his body's aged.
Mm-hmm.
Then Tony Parker isn't as fast as he used to be, although, I mean, he used to be the fastest guy in the NBA.
He's young, I thought. He was like, isn't Parker like 27 or some bullshit, or 29?
Point guard is tough in the NBA. Like, few guys are like Jason Kidd. Most guys fail out, like...
Kidd's old as shit.
Yeah, but
how are the Mavs? Are the Mavs even in... The playoff picture? Are they like eighth seed or something?
They should make the playoffs. I mean,
no one expects shit though. I mean, they're just gonna limp through, and
it's unlikely they'll do anything. I'll say this though: I did a study on the NBA playoffs. The only team that was like below a four seed. I'm sorry. I think every NBA, I believe, since they went to eight teams in each conference and in the playoffs.
What were they before? Six.
It was like six, and then four before that when it was a smaller league. Yeah. But since they've gone to the bigger format, I think there's only been one team. I'm sorry, no teams outside the top three, like, seeds have won a title. except for teams that are repeating. So if you won the title,
oh, I got you. So you can be a piece of shit limping into it, but you won last year, and you can
so
still
you just have the confidence of like, I ain't even trying to win in the regular season. That's for chumps.
I love that about that is the one thing I do like in the NBA. Like there are times you'll see a team really fighting for like home throughout. And then there's other, like the fucking Celtics, who are just old as shit. And they're like, just get us into the postseason, man.
Yeah, it's just like, I've been there before. I tasted the sweetness of victory. I don't need this regular season game.
God. It was so depressing when they lost the Lakers a couple years back.
For real? I don't know. I really don't like them for some reason.
I like them more than the Lakers. But I don't like
them. I'm a big Ron Artest fan. Meta World Peace. I'm buying his jersey. It's official.
Oh, like, was that the year he got his ring?
Yeah, I think that was, yeah. But yeah, when Meta World Peace went medieval on James Harden, I mean, that was another timeless moment in NBA history.
You can just Google it, just Meta World Peace elbow. And the whole debate is if he elbowed this guy Harden in the back of the head intentionally. He goes up for a dunk. He dunks over who again? Was it Durant?
It's Durant. He dunks on Durant.
Which is pretty monstrous because Durant's a fucking young mother guy.
Yeah, these are two big guys. These are 2 7-footers and he just like went up over them. So he was jacked. Oh, man, he just started throwing elbows left and right.
He just throws bows, yeah, Luda style. And one of them is like just right to the temple of Harden, who fucking falls like a house of cards, man.
And he knew the guy was there. I mean, it's just...
Well, if you watch, like, he's running by. So his elbow, his head is turned away from James Harden, but his arm caresses the body. That really sounded fruity. Like, it rubs. He can... Like, you brush against someone in a hall, even if you're looking at the other way, or you got your face buried in your cell phone, you've got senses in your arm, you're like, I touched something. And he throws this really hard elbow that his head is still looking the other direction, so he's obviously not aiming for a small target. So I think he's kind of just like, you know, get the fuck away from me, motherfucker, that kind of elbow.
Yeah, he's not like, oh, this is where the guy's head is, this is where the guy's back is.
And it's like kind of high up, and it just like slides. It follows the arc of this guy's arm and shoulder, and then just like courses up his neck and crashes into the side of his head, and James Harden just goes right the fuck down. I guess you can be pissed that Artest was throwing any sort of elbow that hard because there was power behind that.
It's just here's the big controversy. I mean, one, Ron Artest was like suspended for a whole season because the malice in the palace when he like started a riot.
Jumps up into the fucking stands. Best clip I've ever seen. It was so great because these guys in the stands are kind of like, well, I'm not going to tangle with a football player, but a basketball player. What the fuck, you gangly mother effer?
But that was the problem. What people didn't realize is like, yeah, basketball players may not be the toughest dudes, but when you're that tall,
you got reach. You just see these little pot-bellied motherfuckers like trying to get in.
Oh, Jermaine O'Neal landed the best punch. I mean, his reach is insane. Jermaine O'Neal is at least like 7'2".
Mm-hmm.
And he just like landed full extension, this one punch. I mean, Jermaine O'Neal ain't the strongest dude. So the guy got up
reach,
quickly.
Yeah.
But he clocked him. I mean, the dude just went down. It was a knockout punch. And I just watched that over and over again as this dude wearing a Detroit, like this fan just wearing a Detroit jersey, getting clocked. It's just like, dang, I didn't think he could do that. You could just see it on the guy's face. Like,
was that like at the end of the season?
It was close because the suspensions were like 25 games.
He was 80. I thought NBA was 82. Am I wrong?
It's 82. This season's short because of the lockout.
And hockey's 82 as well?
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, I love that they line up like that. It makes sense to me.
Right, yeah.
Because I know the other two. Those are sports I actually fucking pay attention to a little more.
Right on. But yeah, with Artest, so he's basically the only player in the league right now. Perhaps, I think, yeah, the only other guy who's been suspended for a year that I know of was Latrell Sprewell for choking
his fucking coach out.
Choking a bitch named, what was his name? Carlissimo. Yeah, PJ Carlissimo got choked.
Oh, God. just black on Italian violence. I remember that was when the Knicks were just a laughing stock. Like, he was kind of the only thing that did anything on that team, right?
Oh, he went to the Knicks after that incident.
Oh, that's right. He was a Nugget. Yeah, he was a Nugget. I was going to say, but he went to the Knicks and he fucking... I mean, he didn't really do anything.
It killed Carlissimo's career, though. He shouldn't have reported that. Like, you can't tell
people. He looked
like
a little twat.
Like, he's never been a head coach since.
I don't care how big a dude is. My old man taught me this. You can always kick a motherfucker in the nuts and then punch his face in. Like, if you're in a life and death situation.
The Greek way.
Yeah, I mean, do what you got to do to walk away from a fight.
But yeah, I mean, just like the second he decided to go to the police with that, like, NBA career over. Like nobody's going to respect you.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think most players would have been like, why don't you just kick him in the nuts, man?
Yeah. Seriously, like, we understand. Clock the motherfucker.
Yeah, like, somebody's trying to choke you, like, I don't know, like. Anyway, so, yeah, like, Ron Artest, one of the worst defenders. He's probably going to get suspended for who knows how long. Most people saying 10. I think it's going to be 15. I think he's going to get 15.
Jesus Christ, really?
Because here's why. So, if they only do, like, 5 games, he shows up.
How much is left in the season? Like,
one game.
That's what I thought. It's like almost over. Okay.
But let's say, all right, so Lakers play the Clippers first round. Worst case scenario. I mean, Clippers could win that series for all I know, but worst case scenario, you suspend Ron Artest 5 games. He sits out last game of the regular season, sits out the first series. If the Lakers sweep the Clippers, that means his first game back is against Oklahoma City in the second round.
That'd be nice.
I don't think the NBA wants that. I think what they really want is Ron Artest not to have a whiff of a game against the Thunder. And so the only way to guarantee that
15
is 15, because you need to make sure can't play in the first 7 in the first round, can't play in 7 games.
I always forget the fucking first round's up to 7 now.
Yeah, so I mean, you got to make sure 15. And if you don't do that, you got to make sure then it's only a 3-game suspension. So that's why it's weird. To me, I think he's either got to get 3, because everybody who's had a flagrant this year has gotten 2. This is the worst by far, though, I think. I've seen some nasty flagrants this year. Like, 2 was pretty fair. This one probably deserves 4. But
you think the league's just going to...
Because it's Ron Artest. They can do whatever they want. Like, he's considered, like, separate from all other players. Like, they could suspend him for another year, and people would understand it's just because he's Ron Artest. Yeah. Like, I do love the fact, though, that, like, he changes... Like, the second he changes his name to World Peace, I'm like... He's going to do some violence, and the headlines are going to be hilarious. Like, world peace commits act of violence.
Sports writers cannot beat their dicks fast enough to that.
But they all lost their sense of humor, man. Like, I haven't seen a good headline coming out of this. Like,
no, what are you expecting in the sports world? Were you asleep during the whole Jeremy Lin thing? I mean, come the fuck on.
I was so much.
It was like Lin Sanity, yeah. And then nothing else. Yeah. Nothing else. Lin Sanity, I'm like, okay, sure.
It's just, if you watch the highlight, the way that Artest just, like, lands the elbow, they have this perfect snapshot of, like, when the elbow was hitting Harden in the back of the head. And to me, the headline was obvious. Oops, upside your head. I mean, it's just that should have been, like, the headline in the New York Post or whatever. I'm just like, this is the perfect moment. The Gap Band wrote that song for this moment. This is what he was talking about.
Far. Yeah. No one's got that kind of breadth of knowledge like you, man. You missed your calling. And I think on that happy note, it's actually coming in. Hopefully we won't get the virus buzzing sound that usually kicks. There's like a little bloop. You've been looking at too many porn tumblers. And your laptop is forever infected. Well, Howard, thank you for coming in. Is there anything you want to plug, man? Any endeavors? Any websites?
Nah, man. I'll hit you up on Papa's Basement at some point. Like, we're gonna do some more promotion for Papa's Basement on our end too. So once I get some websites up, I'll let you know.
Sounds good. Howard, thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure. I, of course, am John Papa Giorgio. The website is inpapasbasement.com because some piece of shit still got Papa's Basement to this day. It is what it is. Please go to that site. Go to the iTunes link via that site and give a lot of love to the podcast. Subscribe. Give it 5 stars. There's also my Twitter link there. Please follow me. The Facebook link. Please like us. It means a lot. We've kind of been wallowing at about 3:30, 3:31, which is pathetic. Coca-Cola has a little more than us, you know. I want to catch up. Until next week, next Saturday at 3 p.m., fcac.org/WEBR. We're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody. Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way.